I'm Lauren Letellier.
I'm Chris Atkins. We're volunteers at the Rojan Library.
And this is WGXC, Acre, Hudson, and Catskill.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we've got many songs and sounds and stories for you, including we'll hear from Dave Ellis of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition. He spoke at the public hearing at the East Greenbush Town Hall September 29th about the Dunn Landfill in Rensselaer County, which some residents want closed. We'll also hear from Anna Kathawala, co-chair of the Fridays for the Future NYC, about the student strike September 24th. Rob Gellis updates listeners with this month in history for October, and we'll hear headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. All this and more starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Turns the blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network, network. And the moon turns the blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network, network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network, network. This is the news.
Gig Talk. Gig Talk.
What's new at WGXC? Well, there are a lot less live musical performances on the air, as there are a lot fewer live musical performances anywhere these days. But WGXC has a new show on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. called Gig Talk. Matt Motel and Kevin Shea take your calls about gigs, musical performances, future and past. Call in at 518-622-2598. Talk to Matt Motel and Kevin Shea on Gig Talk, Thursday nights at 8 p.m. on WGXC. It's 518-622-2598. Call in to Gig Talk Thursday at 8 on the radio at 90.7 FM.
Entire neighborhood, so the gig didn't happen. That was a gig problem.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Kravitz and Son Roofing, a local family-owned and operated full-service roofing company for more than 48 years. Specializing in residential and commercial roof construction, repair, maintenance, and replacement, using high-quality and affordable roofing products. Information at 518-567-4026 or online at KravitzandSonRoofing.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bob Wills Architecture of Rhinecliff, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You have tuned into the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of the stories here. I'm Tom Rowe in Acre. Kenesee Crow II is reporting for the Times Union that Rensselaer County Chief Medical Examiner Dr. Michael Sikirica has refused to get vaccinated for COVID-19, forcing the county to send bodies for autopsies to Glens Falls Hospital instead of Albany Medical Center Hospital, county officials confirmed October 1st. Autopsies Sikirica are typically done at the Albany facility, which requires vaccinations for its employees and for anyone working there. Quote, Dr. Sicaria is not employed by Albany Med, but consistent with our policy, physicians who do provide services on our campus must be vaccinated, unquote, said Matt Markham, vice president for communications for the hospital. When asked to comment on why he has not been vaccinated, Sicaria referred questions to Richard Crist, the Rensselaer County Director of Operations. Crist said Sicaria is still performing autopsies, but not in Albany. As a result, officials, police officers, and prosecutors must now travel roughly 50 miles to Glens Falls. Rensselaer County District Attorney Mary Pat Donnelly said the relocation of the autopsies is another unexpected outcome of the pandemic. Quote, it's certainly inconvenient for us. We'll make it work, unquote, she said. Crist said there could be a ripple effect across the capital region because Sicaria works for seven counties. Quote, this is a regional issue, unquote, he said. Kate Lisa is reporting for Johnson Newspaper Corp that roughly 98% of the staff at Columbia Memorial Health Hospital in Hudson have now received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose, a massive increase from the lower full vaccination rate reported by the state health department last week. Hospital, nursing home, and adult care facility employees in New York State were required to receive their first vaccine by midnight September 28th. As of October 1st, 1,645 of the total 1,683 health staff at the hospital in Hudson have received at least one dose of an approved COVID vaccine, CMH spokesperson Bill Van Slyke said. It was unclear if the 38 unvaccinated CMH health workers would be placed on leave for a period of time or if terminated. Quote, the hospital has taken whatever actions are necessary in order to be compliant with the state order, unquote, Van Slyke said. Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Columbia Green Media that Greene County Public Health may have to terminate up to four of its 33 employees if they are not vaccinated against COVID-19 by October 7th. Four employees, including clinicians and support staff, have not received their first dose of the vaccine as of October 1st. Quote, those employees are being notified that this is where we stand, unquote, Greene County Legislature Chair Patrick Linger said. Quote, they will go on an unpaid suspension for probably a week, and if they are not vaccinated at that point, we will have no option but to terminate them, unquote. Linger, a Republican, said he does not know why the four unvaccinated employees have failed to comply. The county legislature on September 27th submitted a letter to Governor Kathy Hochul asking the vaccine mandate for frontline workers be delayed, saying the system is at capacity. Nick Reisman is reporting for New York State of Politics that law professor and failed gubernatorial candidate Zephyr Teachout announced October 2nd she will run for state attorney general if current Attorney General Letitia James launches a campaign for the New York State governor in 2022. Teachout confirmed her plans first to the Times Union and later on Twitter. Teachout challenged then-incumbent Andrew Cuomo in the 2014 Democratic primary. 2016, she ran unsuccessfully for the 19th congressional district seat against Republican John Faso. And in 2018, she was a candidate for attorney general after the office was vacated by Eric Schneiderman, who resigned amid allegations of sexual abuse. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that the Ravenna Village Board last week voted unanimously to approve a new law to prohibit the feeding of wildlife, including waterfowl. Over the summer, property owners in the village complained that some residents were feeding waterfowl, which resulted in large numbers of the animals flocking to the area, especially ducks, which were causing property damage and creating a public health nuisance, village officials said. The village board held a public hearing on the new law in August. Unanimously adopted at the September 21st meeting, the measure outlaws the feeding of wildlife within the village and applies to all wildlife, including waterfowl, with the exception of songbirds. Residents who want to continue feeding songbirds must use bird feeders that follow certain requirements to ensure that food does not attract ducks or other waterfowl. Local police officers, sheriff's deputies, or law enforcement officials from the Department of Environmental Conservation or the Department of Parks and Recreation are empowered to issue an appearance ticket for those who violate the law. The law is effective immediately after it is filed with the New York Department of State. Read more about this story in the Ravenna News Herald. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Composer Wang Lu was inspired by her childhood memory of music played in a remote mountain town. And we'll hear her raucous orchestral homage on the next Deep Threes. Plus tracks from Sound Prints and Christina Vansu. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts on Sunday there is a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 3 p.m., with increasing clouds during the day and a high of 68. Then Sunday night, there's a low of 57 and an 80% chance of rain, mostly after midnight. Monday, showers and thunderstorms are also possible. Again, after 2 p.m., the thunderstorms might come. There's an 80% chance of rain on Monday with a high near 64 and a low around 55 Monday night with a 70% chance of the rain continuing. Tuesday, there's only a 30% chance of showers, and that's mainly before 2 p.m. Then it's mostly cloudy with a high of 64 and a low around 56. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson Radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter W. Bone of Gilboa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice, the world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio.
Yeah. Hey, Snow White, it's gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright. Hey, Snow White, it's gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from near Hudson.
You stole my job. I'm Emily, and I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. So
I'm the director.
I don't know if I have a job anymore. I've been replaced.
Your job is being me, your student.
I wish you well in your new position, Georgia.
Thank you. I wish you well.
And we have another guest with us today.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jay. I live in America and I'm 17 at heart.
Interesting. I don't know how old I am at heart.
I know her real age. But I'm not going to say it.
Yeah. We don't divulge secrets here on Bound by Books. But on Bound by Books, we do talk about books every week. Books we love.
I'm going to be 13 and not that long. Doesn't count.
Books we hate.
Bookish things.
Woohoo.
And that's what we're going to do today. But first, we want to welcome Jay to Bound by Books for the first time ever. So before we start talking about specific books, I'm just wondering, Jay, what kind of books you like? Do you have certain authors that you love, certain series, certain genres, certain types of books or topics?
I like reading. Okay, I'll read anything as long as it has a good plot, except for nonfiction. I don't like that. And I won't read, like, annoying books. They have to be, the main characters have to be like 12 and up in age, or else it's really annoying to read. Or like they have to be at least like 14 in age, the main character. Okay. Yes. And that's it. I'll read whatever.
Would you read nonfiction if it had a plot? Like
no.
If it was told like a story?
No.
Why if it had a 14-year-old main character?
Nope. I don't like nonfiction. I tried. I just don't like it.
What if we were sneaky and gave you a nonfiction title that read like a story and you didn't even know, and it was the best book you ever read?
Then that would be, I don't know.
I don't know how we would get that past you, but
yeah.
New life goal.
I usually look up the books. I look up like parts of it and like a description so I know if it's good or not before I start reading. So
yeah. Where do you find the descriptions?
Google. I am reading this right now.
Oh, The Red Queen by Victoria Aveyard. Is that her? Yeah. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, if you haven't read it, it's about this girl. Actually, I suck at explaining books. Let me just...
You could read the description if you want. That's in the book jacket.
Okay. Maribel's world is divided by blood. Those with red and those with silver. Mary and her family are lowly reds, destined to serve the silver elite whose supernatural abilities make them nearly gods. Mary steals what she can to help her family survive, but when her best friend is conscripted into the army, she gambles everything to win his freedom. A twist of fate leads her into a royal past, to the royal palace itself, where in front of the king and all his nobles, she discovers a power of her own, an ability she didn't know she had, except her blood is red. To hide this impossibility, the king forces her into a role of a lost silver princess and betrothed her to one of his sons. As Mary is drawn further into the civil war, she risks her new position to aid the Scarlet Guard, the leaders of a red rebellion. Her actions put in motion a deadly violent dance, pitting prince against prince and Mary against her own heart. Yeah, there you go.
Are you enjoying that book?
So far, actually, yes. Surprisingly.
What do you like about it?
I just want to see if she gets to see her family again. That's probably why I'm still reading. But it's pretty cringy, honestly. And it's pretty, like, so far I know everything that happens. I totally guessed everything that happened.
Huh.
still good, I guess. It's still good to read. I guess I would recommend it to somebody.
And that's a first in a series, so if you like that one, you can read the rest.
Yeah, probably.
I know that was really popular. I've never read it myself.
You should. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll let you finish reading it, and then if you still suggest it, then maybe I'll try it.
Cool.
Well, I'm trying to think if I have any books that I still have to read. Because sometimes people talk about books on the show, and I feel like I have to read them because they love them so much.
Your reading list is like 1,000 pages long, girl.
I have a lot of books to read.
You said you won't know if you have any books to read. It's 1,000 pages, girl.
I meant very specific ones, like if ones you want, that are your favorites.
Read the one that I'm about to share.
Well, let's hear what Jay's recommendations are first.
I have many. Okay, first off, we're going to start with this beauty. It's called The Stars We Steal. It's very unpopular. I never heard anyone say it before, but it's beautiful.
Huh. Is it like a fantasy book or?
It's sci-fi and...
Sci-fi, nice.
There's always a little bit of romance in there, but that's it.
Yeah, there's so many books.
Yeah.
I can recommend to you.
Awesome. I look forward to hearing more of those. So, Georgia, you had a book you wanted to share?
Mm-hmm. So, my book is called Linvisible. This book actually belongs to my school, but with my teacher's permission, I brought it home for the day. I'm going to return it tomorrow. This is such a good book. This is my new favorite. Out of a rating 0 to 100, you know how I always rate books 0 to 100. I'd probably give this a 99.99999999999.
Why?
It's such a great book. It's just amazing. I don't know how to express how amazing it is. I will read the description. Lara Girl magazine is looking for fashion-savvy girls to be on their advisory panel. It's perfect for Lynn Vincent, who eats, breathes, and sleeps fashion. However, Lynn is so fashion-forward that she's ahead of the trends in her small town. Lynn is so in, she's out, especially with Chasey Welch in a popular circle. But Lynn may finally get her moment in the spotlight and on the runway when a famous designer gets her hands on one of Lynn's unique creations. This is a great book. I really enjoy the cover because it looks like a fabric collage with Lynn looks kind of like a fabric collage and then Bella, the puppy, looks like a like watercolor. The cover is very far out. There aren't any pictures, so you never see Lynn's face. You just have to imagine it. So that's my book.
Hey, sounds fun. And that's like a middle grade novel?
Yeah, I'd say it's like middle grade, cool. Probably. And I'd place that in the realistic fiction category.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. I have a book to share as well. And mine is also middle grade, but it's a graphic novel and it's the first in a series. And the series is called Katie the Cat Sitter. So it's the first in a series by Colleen A.F. Venable and Stephanie Yu does the illustrations. And I know there's a second book coming out, but I'm not sure when. I'd have to try to look that up later to find out. But I was really excited. I just finished this book this past month and then was looking at this online resource where you can get preview copies of books for librarians or reviewers. And I saw that there was a Katie the Cat Sitter too, and I was so excited. But it's about a girl named Katie, obviously, and she is getting ready for summer and she's dreading it because her friend is going away to camp and she's not going because the budget's just too tight in her family and the camp is expensive. So Katie decides to try to make some money so that she can maybe go to camp for like a week and join her friend there. So she finds all these like little part-time jobs, but nothing's really working out. And then eventually one of her neighbors hires her to be a cat sitter. And she goes there and meets all the cats. And there's just like tons and tons of cats in this apartment. And they all seem like really well-behaved and they like listen to her commands and like for anyone out there who's had a cat, like most cats are not that well behaved. But as soon as the owner leaves, the cats go a little wild and start doing all sorts of weird things and like messing up the house and like getting into all sorts of mischief. But then like clockwork, at a certain time at night, all of a sudden they put the apartment back together and then the owner comes home. So everything works out in the end. And this happens like night after night. Oh, and I forgot to mention, there's not just a lot of cats, there's 217 cats.
This is my book.
Yeah, I think you would love this book. So at the same time, there's also a villain in the town, like a masked villain, like superhero kind of masked villain, who is like going around doing different crimes. And Katie starts to suspect that her neighbor might actually be that notorious villain. And so she's trying to figure out how to deal with all of this stuff at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun. And it's funny. The cats are hilarious.
How old is Katie supposed to be?
I can't remember if they said how old she was.
Did they say what grade she was in?
Yeah, that's what I don't remember. Because it's like the end of school when it starts. But I don't know if they ever say how old she is. I would guess that she is somewhere in like 12 to 14.
Well, no, I'm not really sure.
It's called Katie the Cat Sitter.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, that's first in the series. I think it was suggested for ages 8 and up. One place I read, because my niece just turned 8 and I bought this for her because I loved it so much. So she's, she may have read it by now, but she was reading it the other day.
12. Katie is 12.
Oh, cool. Thanks. It was in my range, bottom of the range. So yeah, it's a really fun graphic novel. There's like spreads of like the different cats and their special skills that they have that are pretty fun.
Do the cats talk?
I don't think they talk. I don't recall them talking, but they're very special, unique cats. They have some special skills for sure. More so than any cat I've ever had. My cats that I've had in my life were not that skilled. But yeah, so Katie the Cat Sitter by Colleen A.F. Venable with illustrations by Stephanie Yu.
And then imagine if it was Kitty the Kitty Sitter.
Kitty the Kitty Sitter.
And is the cover was like a cat wearing a little like top hat and carrying a cane and smiley as speech bubble coming out of her mouth and saying, "Come here, my beautiful children."
Aw, let me see sweet if I can
nanny.
Find.
It'd be a sweet kitty nanny. And then all the children would be like, "Yeah," and then they'd scratch her.
Oh, I'm gonna see. Yeah. Okay, so the next book in that series, Best Friends for Never, looks like it's coming out in 2022. So in January, so just at the start of the new year. So that should be fun.
Woo-hoo.
Jay doesn't know this yet because we just met recently. But I love middle grade graphic novels. And so does Georgia. I love teen graphic novels too and adult graphic novels, but I feel like middle grade.
I'm a graphic novel nerd.
Yeah. Middle grade is pretty great for graphic novels. That section.
Teen graphic novels aren't the best. Teens don't usually.
Yeah. Some of them are good. I think the trick with teen ones is that a lot of teens are starting to read adult graphic novels. And so there's not as many produced for that age range.
Yeah.
But there are some very good ones that I've talked about on the show.
Also, teens start to read adult books. Mm-hmm.
Do you read any graphic novels, Jay?
I used to only read graphic novels, any, like, you know, drama or, like, Smile, stuff like that. You know those? Yeah, I used to only read stuff like that. But now I don't as much no more. Chapter books just have this beautifulness. They just have this beautifulness.
Yeah. I like all of it. Even nonfiction, but only nonfiction that reads like a good story. So that's why I'm convinced that someday we might be able to win you over. Well, by we, I mean me, because I don't think Georgia reads much nonfiction, although you do read memoirs and biographies.
You read nonfiction, but I prefer I prefer autobiographies and biographies more than nonfiction. Though biographies and autobiographies are subgenres of nonfiction, so it'd fall into that category.
Yeah. Well, before we end our show for today. Does anyone have anything that they want to share that they didn't get to share yet? Something they're interested in or excited about? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay. So, Lunar Chronicles.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
That's a fun series.
My top favorite. One of my top favorite series ever existing. Read it. Yes. Just yes.
That's Marissa Meyer? Is that her name?
Yeah. Mr. Meyer. Marissa Meyer. Yes. I just love it.
I don't think I ever finished the series. I read Cinder, and is Scarlet the next one?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if I ever read the third one.
It's Crest and Winter.
Crest. Yeah, I don't know if I ever read Crest and Winter.
Those are like the best ones.
Oh, really? Oh, I have to read them. I loved Cinder and Scarlet.
Yeah, trust
me. So good. For our listeners, these are sci-fi fairy tale or they're not quite fairy tale retellings. They're fairy tale inspired, I would say, because they're not direct retellings of fairy tales. But Cinder's a cyborg, right?
Yes.
It's like a cyborg Cinderella.
Yeah. It's just so beautiful. It's one of my favorite book series.
Yay. Well, I guess that's about all the time for today.
No.
No? We have more time?
Yes. I make the rules because I am the director
of the
Canary Library.
Sorry. Didn't mean to step on your toes. Would you like to close us out for the day? Or share some library news?
Director a chance.
Okay. Well, yeah, so I hope everyone out there listening has a good week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.
Bye.
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 don't know what I'm supposed to be. I'm stuck. Does it get easier?
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On October 1st, 1908, Henry Ford's Model T was designed and went on for sale for the first time. On October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a proclamation designating the last Thursday in November as Thanksgiving Day. On October 6, 1927, the first talkie opened in New York. The jazz singer starring Al Jolson was the first full-length feature film using spoken dialogue. On October 9, 1962, Uganda achieved its independence after nearly 50 years of British rule. On October 11, 1884, Eleanor Roosevelt was born in New York City. On October 14, 1947, U.S. Air Force Captain Chuck Yeager became the first man to break the sound barrier flying in a rocket-powered research aircraft. On October 16, 1859, fanatical abolitionist John Brown seized the federal arsenal at Harper's Ferry with about 20 followers. 3 days later, Brown was captured and the insurrection was put down by U.S. Marines. Brown was immediately tried and hanged. On October 19, 1781, as their band played, the world turned upside down. The British Army marched out in formation and surrendered to the Americans at Yorktown, Virginia. The war between Britain and its American colonies was effectively ended. On October 21st, 1879, Thomas Edison successfully tested an electric incandescent lamp with a carbonized filament at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. On October 23, 1942, British General Bernard Montgomery launched a major offensive against German forces under Erwin Rommel at Al Amain, Egypt. On October 24, 1861, the first transcontinental telegraph in America was sent from San Francisco to Washington, addressed to President Abraham Lincoln from the Chief Justice of California. On October 26, 1881, the shootout at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona occurred between the feuding Clanton and Earp families. Wyatt Earp, two of his brothers, and Doc Holliday gunned down the two Clantons and two others. On October 28, 1886, the Statue of Liberty was dedicated on Bedloe's Island in New York Harbor. The statue was a gift from the people of France commemorating the French-American alliance. On October 31, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the door of Wittenberg's Palace Church, denouncing the selling of papal indulgences. You've been listening to This Month in History, a monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you'd like to hear included in This Month in History, email me, Rob Gellis, at info@wgxc.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I'm Tom Rowe at WGXC, and reminding you that our WGXC 10-year anniversary pledge drive is from October 17th to October 31st this year. And we could sure use your help at wgxc.org/donate to make a difference in your community. We're looking for about 50 more new sustaining supporters to make sure community radio can come your way every hour on the hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 90.7 FM is filled with the voices of your friends and neighbors talking about and having community conversations about local issues and providing all sorts of entertainment, music, and more. If that's something you support, consider a donation today at wgxc.org/donate or make a donation during the WGXC 10-year pledge drive from October 17th through 31st. For the radio, 90.7 FM, WGXC, your community radio station.
pegado con el mío. Y sé que solo tú y yo,
y sé que solo tú y yo,
podemos parar el tiempo. Y sé que solo tú y yo,
sé que solo tú y yo,
podemos salvar el mundo.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
First, I would like to thank the town of East Greenbush for allowing us to be here this evening. You guys have been tremendously supportive of our efforts all along since last, January, February 2020, whenever your last hearing was, and we really appreciate your tremendous support. Somebody has to have a voice, and you guys made your voices be heard. You were the first, municipality to speak out against the landfill. Our neighbor, from Rensselaer, the neighboring town, you guys did a great job, and I applaud you for that. Second, I would like to thank Rensselaer Mayor Mike Stammel. He's been against the landfill since way back when, in 2012, during the DEC public hearings. He submitted a 3-page written letter with his concerns about the dump that was proposed at the time. When the dump was approved, many of those concerns that Mike had came true. So, it really takes a team to get things rolling to get this dump shut down. And I think that the town of East Greenbush and Mayor Stammel are doing a great job in helping REC with those efforts. I wanted to speak about the application process, give everybody an idea of what we are going to expect when the permit, if it does come up for renewal, if Dunn decides to apply to be renewed. So a complete application includes a properly completed department application form, location map, project plans, supplemental information, uniform procedure regulations, and the specific program implementing regulations pertaining to the specific permits sought for the project. So basically, in short terms, any of the requirements that Dunn must submit, including an environmental justice outreach plan and Environmental Quality Review Act plan. So those would be required in accordance with DEC guidelines. And the EJ process would be under New York State DEC Commissioner Policy 29, and that's based on census data that shows that the Rensselaer community is high poverty, and that's why there's going to be more opportunity for public participation. Dunn Landfill has up until January to submit their application for renewal if they choose to do so. Their current permit for the facility expires on July 19, 2022. So either if they do apply for renewal or if they don't, the permit that they currently have would expire in July. Once DEC receives the application, they will notify the applicant within a reasonable time frame of receipt of application and notify them if it is complete or not. If it is not complete, they will then notify the applicant that modifications have to be made in accordance with DEC guidelines to fix whatever DEC says is missing. Once the application is accepted as complete, a notice of complete application is published by DEC and their environmental notice bulletin. The applicant is required to publish this notice in a local newspaper. And that, we were told by DEC, would then start the environmental justice outreach that Dunn will be required to do. So Dunn is going to be required to outreach residents who live in the environmental justice zones along the truck route and other areas that are part of the EJ district. I believe we have a map in the hallway or something telling you what that area is. And DEC is going to have to hold their own hearings as well. Based on the comments received and on DEC's review of the project against permitting standards, DEC decides whether to hold a public hearing or not. So based on all the public outreach, you know, with Dunn doing their own environmental justice hearings and DEC doing their own information as well, they would then make a decision. Under the Uniform Procedures Act, DEC will make a final decision following any required hearings. The most important part of this entire process, I believe, is the environmental justice outreach. The Dunn Landfill has never had to do this before, and it's thanks to the voices of the people in the community, the East Greenbush Town Board, Mayor Stammel, and all the members of the Rensselaer Environmental Coalition for speaking out over the last 4 years that this is now a requirement under Commissioner Policy 29 of DEC. Dunn will be required, like I said, to hold these environmental justice outreach. Most of the Partition Street and 3rd Street and near City Hall are EJ zones due to census data showing moderate levels of poverty. So, most importantly, Rensselaer is not a, you know, community with residents who have great incomes. Rensselaer is a poverty-stricken community where most people are low income. You know, they may work two jobs to make a living. Most of the people in the city, honestly, are renters. They don't own their own properties. And if they do, a lot of them are living in areas where they're impacted by the landfill. So the environmental justice outreach is extremely important. The Rensselaer Environmental Coalition plans on holding different training seminars to teach people how to testify at these environmental justice outreach hearings, and as well as when DEC holds their own hearings, if they do. And one of the zones, the percentage of the minority population, is a key factor in the addition to the poverty level. So, you know, the minority and the poverty level play a big role in this EJ policy. Environmental justice came about because many operations like the landfill are in poor and often in mostly minority populated areas. Polluting industries have targeted these areas because they know these communities are fiscally strapped. And unfortunately, the previous city administration, you know, made the wrong choice, and they decided the Dunn landfill would be great for Rensselaer for the tax revenue. And another problem is, you know, unfortunately, there was never an agreement made that the city would get $1 million a year. The city's probably lucky right now if it's getting less than, $500,000 a year, if not less. So the city is not benefiting from this landfill, and East Greenbush is not benefiting from this landfill. Your residents in Governor Square, your residents in Capitol Police, they're experiencing the odors, the noise. It's unacceptable, and this environmental justice outreach is important. You don't have to live in Rensselaer to participate. Dunn will only have to notify the residents in the EJ zone, but anybody is able to participate. And the environmental justice calls for special considerations of the needs for those who live in these zones so their rights are not being violated. Public hearings will be held by the landfill, and the input received from residents will need to be addressed in their plan. There's likely going to be more than one public hearing, and we have asked that written comments also be allowed. When DEC has heard how Dunn is going to address the concerns from the public, they can then designate the application as complete and open a window for written public comment. If the permit is renewed, it will be good for at least another 5 years. So it's important that we all testify and make sure this landfill gets shut down. Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is Tabasco
from William Parker, the legendary free jazz bass player, out in 2021. This is Tabasco.